One, two, three,
podcast.
Podcast! That was not great. Anyway, episode 348, Bite Me Podcast. Dylan's feeling a little out of sorts because it's been like probably a month since you've been on a podcast.
I don't even know.
Yeah, it's definitely been since February. Dylan took a week off and went to the tropics, and so he missed our last one. But
it was nice. Stitch was there. It was pretty cool.
Gosh, I love Stitch, man. He's one of my favorite Disney characters. Yeah. He's great. They have a bunch of new Stitch merch at Walt Disney World that I'm having to convince myself not to purchase.
But it's kind of interesting how, like, I feel like he's a very, like, a big character that's, I don't know, almost, like, underrepresented, except there's a bunch of merch for him, mm-hmm. especially, like, now. Yeah. I don't know.
I think he's, like, I think Stitch works because he's one of the Disney characters that it's, like, cool to like if you're a boy, too.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a princess. He's not a, you know, whatever. Like, I love Stitch, though. He's great. So yeah,
100%.
There's a, at the at Disney World, they did a set of 50th anniversary statues. So there's 50 golden statues throughout, you've seen them, Dylan, throughout the park. And the Stitch one's great. It's right over by, it's right as you come into Tomorrowland, he's like hanging off the wall. And now they talk too. If you have the like,
oh, do they?
Fancy magic bands, they talk. So yeah, it's pretty cool. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about video games today. We got Dylan, we got Colby. Colby, say woo.
Woo.
You heard Colby scream podcast. He did a pretty good job of that. I was very impressed. So we're going to talk today about what we've played. I have sadly not played anything. I'm like Dylan has played something and I have played nothing. So we're switching roles today. Then we'll talk about the future of video games, according to Ubisoft, new parental controls for Steam. A group of guys who are trying to finish every single Wii U Mario Maker level before Nintendo pulls them down from the internet forever, which is kind of cool. PS5 Pro specs have leaked, and I found them to be kind of underwhelming, but whatever. Microsoft launched a new subscription service for Minecraft that's kind of like a Game Pass for Minecraft, which is pretty cool. And we're going to talk about billionaires calling other billionaires names, which is always... It's fun,
I guess.
Anyway, whatever. We got one question, but it's a good one. And then we're going to talk about cheap free game. Yeah, you need one good question. In this life, you need one good question. And then we'll talk about cheap free games and go from there. But why don't we start with Colby playing a video game that came out, 30 years ago? I mean, yeah, I know it's a remaster.
It's
its 30th anniversary this year.
That was a pretty good guess. I'm pretty happy with that. So yeah, tell me about the Final Fantasy VI remaster.
It's good. It has some quality of life things that it does really well. Like you can right click your thumbstick and you don't have any encounters, which
is
cool.
Can you save anywhere?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Which, like, the not having encounters is good, but also then you're going to have to grind if you don't encounter anything.
Double-edged sword.
Yeah, but it has, you know, better graphics and better music and everything. It's real good.
I
picked it up for $18. So.
And that comes with 1 through 6, doesn't it?
No.
Oh, it's just, okay. There just is a six. Pack that has 1 through 6,
yeah,
though, isn't there?
It's way more expensive.
It's significantly more than $18. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Like, $18 is fine for Final Fantasy VI, but... And it's a remaster, so that's fine, but, like... Game's 30 years old, people. Like...
It's a remaster.
Fine. It's on the Switch, right?
Uh-huh.
Is it only on the Switch?
Switch and PS5. It also might be on Steam. I don't know.
I can pull it up. That might be a great place for me to play it on Steam. Play it on my Steam Deck.
If I was better at pulling stuff up, I'd look at Steam.
It's all right. It's all right. I trust you. How does it compare? Like, because that's a game you've played numerous times.
Uh-huh.
How does it compare to your memory of it?
Really good. I mean, like it's just a really good game. It works out really, you know, like everything like fits together really well.
Yeah.
And it is. Not different than I remember. It does appear to be on
Steam.
Well, nice. No. Oh, wait, there it is, six. Yeah. $18 on Steam. Like, I remember, like, you know, sometimes you'd have to go off with other people, like, it would kind of split up the party. I don't remember it doing it as much as it does, where you're Locke and you get Celeste. Like, I remember that one specifically, but I don't remember, like, oh, you're Tara, Bannon, and Edgar by yourself. You're Sabin and Shadow by yourself, and that's all at once. They split up and stuff, so. But, yeah, it's a good game, and, I mean, I would say that if you played it, you should play it, but if you haven't, I don't know if you haven't played it, if it's going to be like, wow, this is great.
I tried to play it on, like, my, I had, like, a DS Lite, maybe, one of the ones that have, like, the...
It was
like,
on DS.
Yeah, like, 2.5-inch screens.
I lent it to you.
Yeah, and I tried playing it, and it just wasn't, like, the experience just wasn't good. The screen was too small, the, you know, everything was...
It also has maps, built-in maps.
Oh, nice.
So,
that is nice.
With, like, named, like, you can scroll through, like, where everything is, and it highlights it.
So I remember that being Prima Guide.
Yeah, I remember that being a big problem where, like, you have no idea where you're supposed to go, but you can pull up a map and kind of look at it and see
that's
where
cool.
you're, yeah. That's overall, cool. it's really good. I'm
nice.
I'm enjoying it. I'm playing it like 20 minutes at a time. It'll probably take me 6 years, or more than likely, I'll just, you know, eventually forget about it and you know, stop about halfway through, like I normally do with Final Fantasy VI.
I mean, you've beaten it once, Colby, so anything you do after that is just, you know, whatever. I, on the other hand, have never beaten it, so I need to beat that and like. The first Dragon Warrior game, maybe? I think I got both of those to, like, the very end and just pop out on both of them. So, someday. Yep. Probably not.
And
anyway, what you playing?
I'm also playing, I mean, like, since we've talked, I've played, like, six games, but I'm not gonna, you know, spend
that's
all
fine.
The time. I beat Persona 3. It was really good. But I've been playing Tales of Arise, which is one of the Tales games. I'm only like an hour and a half into it, so
the 17th entry in the Tales series.
Yep. Yeah,
that's crazy. What? Yeah. So role playing game?
Yeah, role playing game. I played it about 2 years ago, year and a half ago. I actually own it, but it just hit Game Pass.
Sure.
And I played it for like 3 hours, so like I do not have a lot of experience with it, but so far it's good. It's, you know, it's a Tales game.
This is like Tales of Symphonia and Tales of So you've played a bunch of the other ones of this too.
Yeah, I played 3 or 4 of them, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I've played a couple of them too. Not like beaten them, but I've played a little bit of them. They all were pretty great. So cool. Well, we'll hopefully talk next week and you tell us more about your Tales. Although, let's see, Diablo comes out a week from today, so I guess you have time to finish up Tales first. Perfect. Dylan, what have you been playing?
I think I've been playing exactly what I was playing.
Yeah, that's fine. Last time.
About a month ago, which is just Fortnite and Deep Rock Galactic Survivor.
I will say Dylan looks more like his character in Deep Rock Galactic than he did last time I saw him. His beard is bushier.
It's getting pretty bushy.
Is that why? Is it because you are taking on the persona 100%. Of your... Yeah. Of your
now, I have a feeling next winter will be cold. So I've just
you're getting ready now.
Yeah, but I've been playing a lot. I had no idea, but they just added a new biome to the game yesterday. I didn't see an announcement or anything. They just... There's a patch and there's a new biome, which is cool because... As some new games are, it's just like you play it and you're like, well, this is like there's a lot there, but you always just want a little bit more.
Yeah.
Especially because you know that it's going to kind of mirror Deep Rock Galactic. So there's certain biomes and different mission types that they're going to add and things. So it's just exciting.
Nice.
To see that happen so fast. And the game is just, it's so much fun.
That's
and,
awesome.
I can't imagine myself really playing Vampire Survivor ever again. Because this game just looks good. And I think the theming is just more interesting to me. And it's not all like... Vampire Survivor doesn't look good. It's a fun game, but it's that really like archaic art style.
Yeah.
Screen, I guess. But it just certainly doesn't look good.
No, it does not.
Like, this hits all, like, it hits the same fun factor. It's probably not quite as, like, zany, I guess, but you definitely can create some pretty crazy combos.
I mean, there's no up. Among Us DLC so, for it, but
nope.
Right.
My kid will have no interest.
That's fun.
But I'm having a lot of fun with it, and I'm just kind of trying to, like, go through and unlock all the weapons and unlock all the overclocks for the weapons, and it's taking a while, so I play that for a little bit every day or so, and then I'll hop on Fortnite with everybody and we'll play that, because another new season or whatever just started, and it's all, like, Greek mythology'd out, which is, I guess, cool. I guess some seasons you're just going to like more than others.
Yeah.
This one, I don't know how I feel about it yet, because I think the last one was pretty fun. So this, the way they changed some, like, the bosses on the map and stuff, is just different. So you kind of have to adjust. But
I need to get in and play Fortnite, because you'd, like, talk about it, and I'm like, I don't even know what game you're playing. Like, I haven't played Fortnite really probably the year it came out. I probably haven't played Fortnite in... I don't know how long.
It's so different.
So weird.
And with the no build, it's, like, so much more, like, friendly to play, I guess.
Yeah.
Even we just got one of my other friends that I hadn't even really talked to that often recently, and he just jumped in and played with us. Yeah, this is pretty fun.
That's,
like,
awesome.
Because you don't have to worry about that. Like, I was kind of, like, joking. It's like, you don't have to worry about playing Minecraft while you're playing, like, Fortnite, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, there's already enough going on in the game with different weapons, and the environments are so destructible and stuff, and it's like, now I don't have to worry about, like, building a tower while I'm having a firefight with you, which is fine. It's a fine thing in a game. It's just, like, I think it's just a little bit too much sometimes.
It sounds like there's a lot more stuff to do too. Like, my biggest complaint about all those kind of games is it seemed like the game would start, and if you didn't die immediately, like, the next 3, 4, 5 minutes of your game might be you not seeing another person and just, like, hiding in places while you waited for the circle to close. You know, like, get inside the circle and then hide somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, get inside the circle and hide somewhere. It sounds like there's actually, like, stuff to do that isn't just, like, hiding in a house somewhere.
I think the PvE edition was probably one of the best things you can do. It creates a reason for people to drop in certain areas, because, oh, we like the gun that guy drops, or so it's like, okay, well, you get a firefight there, you know what to expect, but it also means, hey, if you drop somewhere else, it's not going to be as hot, so maybe you want to do that. And the fact that there's these little towers that you can kill the computer enemies, and then it gives you a key card and you swipe it, and then now you can see the future storm, so you get a little bit of intel that way. And
yeah,
I think that's really neat. But again, it gives you some things to do on the map rather than, like, should we go east or west? It's more like, oh, we can go do that thing that will give us a benefit, which I think is just cool.
Yeah, no, I think that's... It just sounds more fun, really.
And it kind of creates strategy within the game a little bit, more than just, like, being good at it.
Yep.
Like, you can use certain strategies to, like, play smart and do good based on that, rather than just being, like, incredibly good at shooting games.
Yeah.
I definitely think it's fun, and, like, we've had a bunch of people who never really played it before, like, sort of started playing it, and now we're all playing it, and it's, like,
that's
fun.
Awesome.
I think part of that is just because it's, like, it's fun to play something with your friends, but it's, the barrier to entry is so low that it fills that role really well.
Yeah. Well, and it's free. Like, it really does not hurt that it's free.
It's free. It'll run on, like, anything. It has the cross play. As goofy of a game as it is, it's successful for a reason.
Yeah.
So,
yep. That's really cool. Yeah. I keep every time you talk about it, I'm like, I should play it. I think I even have it installed, and I just never do, but yeah, I really need to. Sounds fun.
Yeah, give it a whirl.
Perfect.
You won't hate it.
No.
You might not love it, but you won't hate it.
It's I've played it in the past. I didn't hate it. I'm just like, I'm not very good at it too, to be frank.
Right.
But I think the no build mode will help me suck less. So that's nice.
It's much different and it's good. So
yeah, absolutely. I have not been playing much because you probably noticed we haven't recorded one of these in like 2 or 3 weeks. It's because I've just been working too much. So I've spent a lot of time working too much instead of playing video games. But I did play a little bit of Baldur's Gate. I'm almost done with Act 2. I think last time we talked, which was 3 weeks ago, I had like 2 things left to do in Act 2. And now I just have 1 thing left to do in Act 2. So small incremental progress. That is what I'm doing with Baldur's Gate. So we get into Act 3 hopefully soon. I'm hoping to have a little more time this weekend than I have had in past weekends. But we will see. So let's skip right past me and we'll talk about our patrons, because these are the lovely people who support this podcast, helping us pay for all the software we use, keep the lights on, so on and so forth. If you would like to be one of them, you can go to patreon.com/bitemepodcast, slip us a couple bucks a month. If you are in our $10 tier, we say your name every week. So big shout outs to, I say every week, but every time we do one, which has not been every week for a while. But anyway, big shout out to Alan Schulte, Joe Colt Jr., Anonymous, and Rich Deacon. Thank you for your continued support, and to all of our other patrons for their support as well. Again, go to patreon.com/bitemepodcast. Dylan, you are here, so it is your turn to say things loudly.
News!
Loudly-ish. Ubisoft has defined what they... Well, I'm not going to say they've defined, but they're talking about what the future of games are. Tell me if this guy is... If this is interesting to you. Because I'm like... I'm kind of 2 minds. You use AI, Colby, mostly to make weird pictures for the internet. Do you ever talk with AI?
No.
I mean, okay. We talked with Clyde.
Make me a picture of Jesus if he was made out of shrimp. I mean, is that talking to an AI?
I mean, it's important.
Yeah, it's important.
It's important work, that's for sure.
Somebody, you're doing... I was going to say God's work, but I don't think that's actually correct in that particular case. So.
Shrimp God's work.
Shrimp God's work. Yes. I think
that's
exactly.
Basically Cthulhu?
Basically Cthulhu. Do you play around with AI much, Dylan? Is that something you've messed around with?
Only a little bit. Mostly because it's like, it's almost like a hobby and I don't need one of those. Like,
it kind of is.
It's like something you'd have to sit there and really play with. Like, I have played with it in the sense of like, hey, like how, like, even helping Kate, like she's been using it to help writing like IEP goals.
Yeah.
Just like, cause there's a lot of templatey stuff that you can have it do for you, and then you can fill in the, like the nitty gritty. So I think like that's a great use for it.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I would just be playing with it. I don't really have anything specific.
No.
I definitely want to have it, like, I should probably update my resume. I should probably try to play with it and have it help me do that.
I
seems like that would be a great thing to use it for.
I've done that a couple times where you feed it the job application and then ask it to update your resume based on the job application so you can get the same... Colby made a picture of Jesus being high-fived by Cthulhu. I've used it for that, where you can actually get it to like update your resume to make sure all the keywords are included in it. So you know that's cool. I use it a lot for writing blogs or coming up with like social media posts, or like give me a bunch of ideas that I can make a poll for on LinkedIn. Just a lot of work-related stuff. So, you know, I do it a lot. And so this is kind of in the same vein. And mostly what I'm curious about is if you've talked with it. Like, we used to talk with Clyde a lot. Clyde was
We used to abuse Clyde a lot.
We used to abuse Clyde a lot. He was our AI bot in our Discord until Discord unceremoniously I don't know, like just talking about behind the woodshed and like Old Yeller did, I think. But anyway, so the new thing that they've come up with is in real time, you'll be able to talk into a microphone. Like, so you'll walk up to a NPC in a video game and just be able to chat with them in real time. And it's done where you'll say something, it converts your, you know, speech to text, and then it feeds it into a large language model like ChatGPT, something like that. It creates a reply back to you, and then the character in the game actually speaks about it. And it's done in a way where they've got some guide rails, so you don't, you know, I'm sure the first thing everyone will do is try and get that, you know, thing to tell you that Nazis are great. But you know, there's some kind of guide rails around it. But the idea is that you'd be able to have way deeper conversations with people like the shopkeeper at a store in a video game, or just the random NPC that's giving you information, as opposed to only being able to talk, you know, in deep conversations with the people that really matter in a video game. What do you guys think about that? Like, I'm intrigued by the idea, but I've also talked to a lot of AIs and their speech patterns are not,
you know what,
great.
Kidding, yeah.
Yeah.
But
I don't like that it kind of pulls writers out of things too. Yeah. But
I heard that video games were going to be completely made by AI in 5 to 10 years by someone. So,
I mean, you know, it's
bad
one of those
ones.
It's one of those things where, no, I don't believe that video games will be made by AI in 5 to 10 years. But I've done AI assisted coding before, and it's crazy how good it is. I've done things where, like, I mean, literally 2 weeks ago, I was like trying to get this thing to work on this website I was building, could not get it to work. And I just asked ChatGPT, like, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. Can you do this for me? And it's like, yep, here's code. And I literally copied and pasted it in and it worked. So like, no, but like, I wouldn't be shocked if you're able to go, like, normally this takes, you know, 1,000 programmers to build, and we're killing them. And with AI assisted programming, it takes 200, you know, programmers, and they work 8 hours a day. You know, it's already, it's the graphics you can create with them are taking over mobile dev, where it used to take, I've seen this a couple times, where it used to take like a week for a 3D modeler to model a 3D model for a mobile video game, and now they can generate them using AI, and it takes them about a day to fix them. And you know, like, you lose some of the creativity, you lose some of the, you know, whatever, but you know, when someone who has to sign a check looks at 1 day versus 7 days, the 1 day is always going to win. So like, no, I don't think AI is going to be making video games in 5 to 10 years, but I would guess that you're going to see shockingly large layoffs in the video game sphere because of AI getting rid of those people. So sorry, Dylan, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
oh, no,
please,
you're fine.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I think it sounds kind of interesting, except then I'm like, most conversations in video games I'm skipping through anyway because I don't care what they're saying.
Right.
So it's like, what, I can't imagine, like, It would be exactly as interesting as having a conversation with ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it's not, it's, I don't know if it has a place in a video game. I mean, sure, there might be games, like, I could see a game like Red Dead or GTA, you wanting to have that level of immersion, but those games get pretty close anyway, so I don't know how much more sprawling dialogue I need within those games.
Yeah. You know what I would like is, I would like in one of those games, I'd like to be able to, like most NPCs, you're right, I don't need to talk to them, but I would love to go into a store in a video game and first I'll get rid of the like weird hackneyed dialogue of, hey, partner, nice for you to come in here. Want to look at my wares? And then, right, like, enter into a menu. I would love for it to, I don't know what kind of video game
what
I was
game
just playing.
What game are you playing?
Either, but I don't know, like a knockoff Red Dead Redemption. No, but I would love to go into a place and be able to say, like, oh, hey, so I have this sword here. I don't know how we got the sword. I don't know why that character would have a sword.
Okay, partner.
Yeah. I've got this sword here. I see what you've got there. What's the difference between these two? Tell me what's awesome about that sword instead of like having to try and like sort through like weird stats. Like tell me what's the best thing you've got? What weapon do you recommend?
Right.
I'm an archer. Like tell me about cool bows you have and why they're cooler than this. And like that seems like that could be interesting. Making small talk with like
Are you lonely, Cliff?
God, I'm so lonely, Colby. I'm so lonely. I could see even like it would almost be interesting to see having that text, that chat be generated by like even when NPCs are talking to each other, though. So like you walk into a bar and like, you know, the bartender's talking to some people at the bar and they're, you know, they're talking to each other. And, you know, there's actually like conversations happening inside those spaces. Like I may not be part of them, but maybe it makes a world seem a little more alive.
I think that's what I'm imagining would be the better use for it. Rather than me actually being the one interacting with it, because that doesn't really seem particularly appealing.
You're absolutely right, though. Like I skip 90% of dialogue anyway, so
and it's not going to be any better than what
gonna
someone
be worse.
Wrote. If anything, it's going to be worse. You're going to be like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what did he say?
Yeah. Yep. No, I agree. I agree. You have any other thoughts, Colin?
I just want to know what game you're playing where there's the cowboy guy who you're selling swords to.
Swords to. It's a weird game. Like, have you ever played one of those, like, those weird, like, not Steamworld Dig, Torchlight was kind of that game where, like, most of your stuff is swords and you know, magic or whatever. But every once in a while, like, hey, man, you want a big pistol? You want a really big pistol? Like, that's the kind of game I'm playing. It's some sort of, like, steampunk swords and sorcery thing where...
I'm into it.
It's set in the Old West, but we still use swords for some reason.
Red Steel.
There you go. See? Dylan knew what I was playing. We just had to get there.
game already exists.
Yeah. So now I just need to add AI talking to it. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, it'll be interesting to see how I think AI, like, I don't know if this will be a thing, especially just because I don't know. I don't know if I want to have to talk out loud to play my video game. That seems real awkward.
They've had things like that when I think, did they do some of that stuff when they had like this?
The Kinect.
It's like, I have zero interest in doing that.
I
don't want to get up and dance while I'm playing a game. I don't want to talk to the game.
Yep. Yeah. I wish video game companies would realize that for the most part, I just want to sit on a chair and play a game on a screen. Like, I don't want to talk to it. I don't want to have to stand up. I'll be honest. Like, the worst part about Rock Band was having to stand up while I played Rock Band, you know? and especially by yourself, like you're playing Rock Band with someone else and you're both standing in front of the TV. That feels okay, but like me just like standing in my living room, like playing my plastic guitar, felt dumb. So anyway,
I don't know. I was windmilling that shit. So.
Love it. If you are a Steam user, you may have seen the new beta version of Steam Family. It is a new way to invite up to 5 family members into your Steam library, including easier access to your shared games. Like it is currently possible via a long and complicated process that involves like calling demons from another dimension and logging into other people's PCs and just a nightmarish set of things to share your video games with other members of your family. Like me and my kids share our libraries, but even being in the same house, sometimes it is not super easy. This aims to make that Steam Family feature a little bit easier. It'll allow people to share games. It is only games that say they can be shared, though. So a video game can actually say, hey, I don't want to be part of this, and then that would not be able to share. But hopefully that's not many of them. The big downside of this is if I share a game with my kid gets banned from that game for cheating. I also get banned for that game for cheating. So if you have siblings or... parents cheaters. Or kids that are cheaters or have a lot of like heated gamer moments, you may not want to let them share your video games. Like, I would not share my library with Colby. He cannot be trusted. He says terrible, terrible things online about, I mean, you heard
pretty much everyone
about Jesus and shrimp. He was talking all sorts of things about it's almost Jesus, well, not Jesus' birthday, I guess. Some Jehovah's Witnesses came to my house today to invite me to a gathering celebrating Jesus' death, and I don't know about that. That seems real weird.
How would Jesus feel about that?
I can't imagine good, but I don't know. I guess I could go and ask, but I don't think that's a great idea. I really don't think it's a great idea. Anyway, don't share your Steam library with people you don't trust not to say the N-word on a live stream. That's what I'm saying. But it does give you some cool new features, some new controls, easier sharing, which is good. Have any of you guys played Mario Maker?
I did a little bit really early on.
Yeah, I messed around with it too, and it was just too hard. Like, I'm not smart enough to make Mario Maker levels.
I love the idea of those things. I'm just not interested in actually doing them myself.
Every time I play with one, I'm like, oh man, this would be so much cooler if it was just on my computer instead of on this little stupid Switch screen. Did you make any of them, Cole?
No, my kid did though. So did
my son. He actually made quite a few. Vinny, friend of the show, Vinny, made some really good ones too. Vinny made a really cool level. I remember that you played it forward and then you played it backwards. So you'd like run to the end and then like I think you fought a boss and the boss would chase you back. It was a really cool level. Anyway, the game has existed in kind of two incarnations. There was the original Mario Maker on the Wii U and then Mario Maker 2 on the Switch. This, I think since it started, there's been some kind of issues with levels getting deleted. Like if you didn't have enough ratings and if people didn't play them, your levels would get deleted. It was like Nintendo didn't realize that we're in the, you know, late 2010s, early 2020s, and storage on the internet is effectively free, and that, you know, people don't like it when they make things and you delete them, but whatever, it's Nintendo. It happens. And they are actually now going to delete all of the original Mario Maker levels that were created on the Wii U. I think sometimes this summer, I don't know the exact date, but there's a group of people called Team 0%. And they have been working since 2017 to play every single level that has ever been made in the Wii U version of Mario Maker. It started out as like a couple of people that were messing around with it, and now there's 3,300 people that are working to get all of these games done. And they are down to one level. There's one single level. It's called Trimming the Herbs, and it's the only level that nobody has been able to beat yet. So they're kind of on this race to try and finish the entire thing before they take it down. So they think that they will probably do it. Apparently there are a handful of people that have been able to beat the entire level in pieces. So like, you know, you divide a level up into, 30 different pieces. They can beat all 30 of those pieces, but they have not been able to, actually beat it all in a row, but they believe they will actually be able to get it done before that happens. So I don't know. It's kind of fun. It's kind of a bummer that Nintendo can't just leave them there, but
it's weird.
What do you do? Apparently, there are over 10.5 million levels that they have beaten. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, isn't that nuts? Anyway, good stuff. So they're getting their stuff done. Hopefully, they do manage to beat that level. Neither of you have a PlayStation 5, right?
I have a PlayStation 4.
It's close enough. I've got two PlayStation 4s. Double. Does that mean I have a PlayStation 8?
Yep.
One of them's a Slim, so maybe that's like a PlayStation 7?
4.5.
4.5. the PlayStation 5 is coming out. They think it'll probably be out fourth quarter 2024. This is a leak, so these may not be real. Although IGN has kind of somehow managed to say, hey, this is a leak, but we've verified it with people that have seen it, and it does appear to be correct. The CPU in the PS5 is going to be identical to the one that is in the PS5, but it will be in high CPU frequency mode. So I think they're just like sort of overclocked. So it's about 10% faster. Which makes, you know, things faster, ray tracing faster, so on and so forth. I don't believe it's not going to have a bigger hard drive, which I find absolutely crazy, because that's, I think, the biggest complaint that people have about the PS5 currently is that the hard drives are pretty small. But, you know, I guess if that's what you want, that is fine. It's still going to have that detachable disk drive. You know, so if you want a slightly faster PS5, you'll be able to get one come this December. It does not sound to me like if you already own a PS5, there's a huge reason to go out and buy a PS5 Pro. Maybe if you don't have one of those ginormous things yet, maybe now is your time to jump in. Although, when do you think the PS6 is coming out? 2028?
So let's see. When did these ones come out? 2020?
2020.
I had heard...
I don't think they'll wait all the way until 2030.
I've heard that they're trying to do a 10-year generation.
Doesn't that seem like forever?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. I guess we'll see. Minecraft. Have any of you guys played Minecraft like in any point in time in the last like 3 years? Because I sure haven't. No, Colby's played some Minecraft.
I've never played it.
Really at all?
No.
Really?
It's just so not what I want to do.
Huh. I mean, I'm like, I get it. It's not really my cup of tea either, but I'm not being my cup of tea. I've still played a lot of Minecraft. I'm really surprised. I didn't think there was anyone who had not ever played Minecraft. That's crazy. Have you played it a lot with your kid, Cole?
Yep.
Or you just play it by yourself? Just like making little mines, digging stuff.
She likes to play it.
They introduced a new thing called the Minecraft Marketplace Pass. It is $4 a month, which is not too bad, and it grants people access to a catalog of more than 150 different content packs from the the Minecraft Marketplace, which has too many dang M's in it. And you get new stuff every single month. So... it's $4. It'll get you all sorts of skin packs and adventure packs and different texture packs and other downloadable content. And then Microsoft's going to handpick 150 of these every single month and give you access to them. So every month you'll be able to try out a bunch of new things. Downside being is if you fall in love with something and it goes away, you'll still have to purchase that. But kind of like Game Pass, where it gives you the opportunity for a very low price to get in there and try a bunch of different things. So if you're into Minecraft, that is actually a pretty cool thing. So $4 a month, Cole. That's all you need to pay.
Sweet.
Sweet. Finally, Tim Sweeney in 2019 emailed Gabe Newell regarding the... at the time, the lawsuit that Epic was fighting against Apple and iOS. And in this conversation, he was kind of digging into Gabe Newell, asking like why he thought that Steam decided to deserved, I suppose, a 30% cut of things. And long story short... Tim Sweeney called Gabe Newell an asshole. And that is the biggest bit of news that has existed this week. That's it.
Can you imagine being a billionaire and caring if anyone called you an asshole?
It's Tim Sweeney is like the weirdest man on the planet. Like I wish he wasn't, but he absolutely is. And Gabe Newell like takes a close second. It's just so weird to me that you would do that in a business email. Like I don't know. It's a weird game that those folks play. Anyway, I just thought you all would want to know just kind of what a person Tim Sweeney is. Anyway, let's talk about questions. I've got one, but it's a good one. It's a really good one. A little bit open-ended, so we'll let you guys tell me what you think. This is very open-ended. What are your thoughts on Doom games? when I say Doom, what do you think about?
I like Doom 1 and 2 and the games it spawned, but past that have not liked any of the games.
Doom 2 specifically was, well, I don't know. I mean, so Colby and I, Doom probably came out when I was like 14 probably, and you were 10, if I had to guess. Like, 'cause Doom 2 came out when I was like 16 or 17, if I had to like guess.
I don't know.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Early 90s. And
Doom was 93, Doom 2 was 94.
Really? Huh. I remember very, very specifically going to Media Play and buying the Doom shareware and like coming home and just playing the living crap out of that game. Like, Colby and I played that game so much. I don't know if we ever bought it. Do you remember like owning Doom 1?
So do you want to know my weird like Mandela effect with that?
Mm-hmm.
I specifically remember calling mom and dad to see if we could buy Doom.
Yeah, like from a payphone?
No. That's the thing.
That's the only way it could happen.
That's the only way it could happen. But I remember calling mom and dad. I don't know how.
Huh.
And so, like, I think in my brain, something is wrong because we couldn't have called.
No.
Unless we, like, used the phone at
Media Play? Maybe. But they had payphones outside. We might have made a...
It wasn't outside. It wasn't inside.
Huh. Interesting.
It's a very specific memory.
Uh-huh. It is.
It's a very specific memory. I remember calling them and asking them. Then I'm like, that couldn't have happened.
I have such a garbage memory, but I distinctly remember going to Media Play to get that game.
Yeah.
You know. And then, you know, just loving it. And we played so much of it. And then... 2 years or a year later, I guess, when Doom 2 came out, because my dad really liked it too. Like, he was a big Doom guy. My mom was in the hospital when Doom 2 was released. And so my dad, we went again, I think, to Media Play and bought Doom 2 with the, like, it'll give you guys something to do when I'm hanging out at the hospital with mom. And we went and bought it, and me and Colby and my dad played that game pretty late until, like, Colby went to bed probably at like midnight. I don't know. And me and my dad stayed up until like 5 o'clock in the morning playing Doom 2. And then realized, like, oh shoot, I'm supposed to be at the hospital to see, you know, my wife in 3 hours, 4 hours. And so we went to bed and you know, it was just such a weird, like, it's the only time I've ever done that with my dad, like, where we stayed up all night and did something. But we played a lot of Doom 2 that night. And Colby and I, mean, man, we played that game a ton. We made levels for it. Not good ones, terrible ones. I bought this like 1300 page book called, like, I don't know, Mastering Doom Levels or something. It came with like the level editor and just like all sorts of stuff about it. And I mean, they were terrible. They were so bad. They didn't work. But we spent a lot of time playing the original Doom. And then after that, like, I played 10 minutes of Doom 3 and thought it kind of sucked. I never played Doom 64. I played, I don't know, I've tried to get into Doom 2016 like 4 times, and I don't know if I've ever gotten more than maybe a quarter way into it, and I just don't like how it plays, and I've never played the newest one, so just didn't do me. So now you Dylan, like you're obviously younger than us, so you probably would have come out at like Doom 3 times, Doom 64 times.
I mean, Doom 64 was I remember seeing it. I never played it. I actually really do like Doom 3, but I think probably part of that is I didn't have a lot of Doom context, so I'm not trying to compare them, because I understand their drastic departure from like the Doom formula. But as far as like a survival horror game goes, it's pretty good.
And I think that was the worst problem about it, is no one thought that Doom...
It's not really Doom the way... Like, the new Doom, I think, kind of hits the Doom flavor.
Kind of, yeah. It's real fast-paced.
Right. It's very arcadey, which I liked quite a bit. I finished the first... I finished Doom 2016. I did not finish the second new Doom. I think it was a little too samey.
Yeah.
I kind of already did this once, so I didn't really feel like I needed to do it again. But I liked them a lot. Yeah. They were good.
Yeah,
so.
I always kind of wondered if Doom 3, because like Doom 3 kind of killed the Doom franchise for a while. It was not well received. And I always kind of wondered if that game had not been called Doom 3 and instead had been called like survival horror game or just flat out horror game, if it would have done way better. Because I've heard that, it's actually fun and it's scary and it's dark.
It's scary, it's dark, it's hard.
But no one, like going from Doom 2 to that was not, it was not where people thought it was going to go.
Right.
So. I don't know. It's and those games though, those hold a very, very special place in my heart. I really love those games. And the new ones are fine. They're just not for me. Like I'm too old. I don't have the reflexes to play. I keep thinking that I should give because they're on Game Pass, that I should give a couple of them a try with like God mode and like all the guns turned on. Like maybe I'd enjoy that more, because what I didn't like is like, I didn't like having to do the glory kills to get more ammo. Yeah. I didn't like, it just wasn't, it's.
See, I kind of liked that because what it forces you to do is, because it's so easy in some of those games to just use the same gun the whole time.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, I liked that I had to actually use the other weapons I had.
Yeah.
And maybe there's a better way to do that than having to do the like unnecessary animated kills. But I thought it was an interesting like mechanical concept to play, and I enjoyed playing it. It was fun, and that's all that matters.
I 100% agree. Like I don't disagree with anything you said. I just was bad at it. Right. I really had a very hard time. Like I've spent so many years being the, like, I'm going to be careful. I'm going to sneak into this room. I'm going to kind of see what's going on in here.
It's the complete opposite of every other game.
It just does. It was so weird to me that you had to essentially be running into bad guys the entire time to play that game, that I just couldn't quite get my head around it. And I never was very good at it. So, but cool games, like absolutely cool games. I should give it a try. All right, let's get on to our cheap free games this week. The open world fishing game that Colby had very high hopes for, but ultimately was not. It was Hunter the Wild.
It was good. Yeah. And I hadn't put a ton of time into it. Maybe I need to do that.
Yeah, maybe. It is, you know, I thought it was actually, it is not called The Hunter Call of the Wild. It is called
Fisher, Call of the Sea.
It's not Call of the Wild though, because that's what you play, right? Hunter Call of the Wild.
Oh, what are you talking
about? It's the fishing version of it.
Oh, so, yeah.
I don't remember what it's called.
The Angler.
The Angler. So that is free on Epic this week, along with a game called Atom Eve. That's Atom, A-T-O-M. You are the most powerful superhero in the Invincible universe. So give that a look-see. Game Pass this month, you're going to get a bunch of games. Already out is Lightyear Frontier, a game that's cloud console and PC. That is in game preview. MLB The Show 24, Never Forget, that is a game made by Sony that they forced to put on the Xbox because MLB wants it to be there, and I find it funny every year. yesterday, The Quarry, kind of stealth drop. That's a horror game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Looks good. I've wanted to try that, so give that a look-see. Evil West came out today, March 21st. I've heard good things about that as well. Coming out March 26th, Terra Invicta. It's another game preview on PC only. March 28th, the big one, Diablo 4 is coming to console and PC. I cannot tell you how excited I am about that. Hot Wheels Unleashed 2 Turbocharged is coming to cloud console and PC on March 28th. I've heard really good things about that, too. The new Hot Wheels games are supposed to be pretty good. Open Roads is coming to cloud console and PC March 28th as well. That, I think, is like a... I want to say Open Roads is like a kind of a walking sim narrative adventure kind of game. Apparently, it's an interactive movie mystery thriller game, which looks pretty good. It's from Annapurna Interactive, which generally put out some pretty good games. Ark Survival Ascend, if you want to ride some dinosaurs, is coming on cloud console and PC April 1st. F1 21 is coming to cloud as part of EA Play on April 2nd, so you do need... let's see, that's cloud, so you would need Game Pass Pro to, or Game Pass Ultimate, sorry. To play that one. And Super Hot Mind Control Delete is coming out April 2nd on cloud, console, and PC. If you've never played a Super Hot game, they are best in virtual reality, but they are a lot of fun to play regardless.
A lot of fun, yeah.
Yeah. If you have a VR headset and you have never played Super Hot, you are doing yourself a disservice. That game is phenomenal in VR.
I have a VR headset and I've never played.
Have you never played Super Hot?
I mean, I've played it, but not in VR.
Oh, you need to play it in VR. It is.
It's like remotely as interesting.
Yeah,
not in VR.
It is the only game that I have ever been playing in VR and got shot and literally like put my hand on my chest because it seemed so real. It's very, very, very good in VR. I cannot recommend that enough. Destiny Plus this month is PlayStation Plus this month is getting Destiny 2, The Witch Queen, Sifu, Hello Neighbor, and EA Sports F1 23. Let's see, Prime Gaming is coming today. You can get Pearls of Atlantis, The Cove, Bus Simulator 21. I hope Bus Simulator 21 is 21 because it came out in 2021 and not because there are 20 other of those. is out on the 28th. Through the Darkest of Times comes out March 28th as well. And I don't know anything about that game, but I love the title. And then Bridge to Another World series, Secrets of the Nutcracker comes out as well on March 28th. So get all those by linking your Amazon Prime account to Prime. Do you have to? I wonder if you still have to do it to Twitch now that it's Prime Gaming. I don't know. If you have an Amazon Prime account, you can get access to that. I'm sure you can figure out how to do it. A couple of Humble Bundle bundles as well. The Play on the Hits. I think Play on is like a one of those weird like consolidation companies that happen when one company buys another company and then that company gets bought by something else. For $10, you get 10 games, including Saints Row the Third Remastered. That game is very good. Red Faction Guerrilla Remars Turd, which is a horrible name, but I guess if you like Red Faction, that's pretty cool. Saints Row 4, is it? Yeah. I've heard the Red Faction games are great. Saints Row the Fourth Reelected. What I would suggest is don't play 3 and 4 right back-to-back because 4 is insane, and it is the exact same map as 3, but they're both super solid, so give both of those a go. Red Faction Armageddon. Red Faction Armageddon Path to War, which is the DLC for it. Saints Row Gat Out of Hell, which I thought that was DLC, but it might be... Maybe that came out after Saints Row 4, maybe? I'm not sure. Saints Row the Third, if you guess if you want to play it unremastered, which would be weird, but hey, you do you. Saints Row 2, Red Faction 2, and Red Faction. So for $10, that's a lot of very, very good games. I'm a big fan of the Saints Row. Like 3 and 4 are both real good. Spring Into Learning. This like takes me so far back to when I used to sell video games at Software Etc. For $14, you can get 37 games in the Humongous Entertainment Collection. I'm not going to tell you all of them because, like I said, there are 37, but it's like all the old, like Freddy the Fish game, Putt-Putt games, Pajama Sam, like all of those like edutainment games that I think came out in the, I don't know, probably mid-90s. I don't know if these have been remastered. It doesn't matter. They're probably, if you got kids, they'll probably really enjoy those at least for a little while, and it's only $14. Give it a shot. And I opened up that one twice, so that is not the other one. The final one is called the Humble Heroines Action Adventure Bundle. It is $15 for 8 games. It includes Eastward. You played Eastward and liked it, right, Cole?
No, I played Eastward and didn't really enjoy it.
Colby played Eastward and didn't like it, but a lot of other people have played Eastward and did like it. So don't trust Colby. You could probably trust Colby, actually. A game called Lisa, the Complete Edition, Wanted colon dead. Apparently there is no alive in that. Metal Hellsinger, A Plague Tale Innocence, which I played about halfway through and really liked. I don't know why I didn't finish playing it. I think something else, I think Starfield came out actually, and so I stopped playing A Plague Tale, but it was good what I played. Kind of a weird stealth game. Scars Above, Chorus, which has a one of those V's for a U, and so the game looks like it just says Corvs, which it's fine. And you get a coupon for A Plague Tale Requiem. Oh, no, I played A Plague Tale Requiem, not A Plague Tale Innocence, but I hear they're both pretty good. So give those a look-see. That is $15 for 8 games. I think that's it. Do you guys have anything else you want to chatter about before we call this a day?
I don't think so.
Go play Final Fantasy VI.
Go play Final Fantasy VI. You should come hang out on our Discord because we are making some fantastic AA art. Most of it's extremely disturbing, but I don't think you want to miss that. We are Bite Me Podcast. You can find out more about us at bitemepodcast.com. You can find our website there as well. I don't know what that was going to say. Social media is Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.com/bitemepodcast. I refuse to call it X. I will... I will die before I refer to that as X. That's what I'm saying. You can find our Patreon at patreon.com/bitemepodcast. You can join our Discord at Discord, bitemepodcast.com/discord. Join our Extra Life team at bitemepodcast.com/extra life. I actually updated that so it does work. And I think that's it. Dylan, help us out, man.